Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. This week I had an eye appointment to do annually to check for diabetes in my eyes, and I'm always greatly pleased when the progress is fine and no problems. But I read a story once about a young man in New York who was having trouble with his vision. So he went through to an ophthalmologist, and he was getting his eyes examined, and the doctor said, "What you need to do is this. You need to look at long distances. When you're on the ferry going across the water, look for things far away and high away. Because when you're in the city, it's so short you can't see long distances. It's short across the street. When you're in a room, it's short to the walls. You need to see great vision with great distance to build up the strength in your eyes." I believe there's a lesson for us there when it comes to our spiritual vision as well. We need to see beyond ourselves, beyond what we think, what we know, to what God would have in plans for our lives. It takes great discipline, great trust to see beyond just the immediate to what might be or what can be in great anticipation. When we confine truth and limit insight and do not see our world through the eyes of Christ, we get trapped in the immediate and fail to see the future in God's hands. We see it in desperation all around us. We see it in people just down, just disheartened at what is, but rather than seeing what will be, what can be, what God can do. It's hard, perhaps, to accept God that from the beginning of time he saw this time, this day, this life, your problems before this world ever began, and provide the solution through his beloved Son, the mystery of God's marvelous wisdom. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for those that have gathered here under your care to fellowship with one another, but to worship your name, and more importantly, Father, to learn truth from your word. And as we open it this morning, may the words come alive, may the intent and the spirit in which it was written, as you gave to your apostle Paul, affect us just as it did the first century hearer of this letter. And Father, in doing so, may you bless us now with wisdom from above. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as we continue on with verse number 6. Paul had just begun a little bit of a paragraph on reliance of the Holy Spirit and the fact that he determined to know nothing among you except Christ crucified, so he had a single focus in what was taking place. Verse 6, I'm going to just a little tack in with the end of verse 5, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And it goes on to say, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combine spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God's wisdom, Paul said, is a mystery revealed. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Paul makes a reference to mature believers in Christ, that there is a difference, that just because we all come to the same church doesn't mean that we're all at the same spiritual level. Doesn't mean that we receive and chew on and understand all things at the same degree. If you look back at your spiritual life, I pray that you see a growth in a wisdom and understanding that you can go back 5 years and read a verse that you thought was one thing, but now you see it deeper for what it is. And that's the encouragement of our vision statement, is that people may grow to feed themselves, that they may grow to feed others. Our responsibility is first to teach and to feed, but then it's your responsibility to continue to feed yourself and then be in a place to feed other people. Not to stay as babes in Christ, but to grow in maturity. The wisdom originates in the past, not of Paul's present times, and leaders and rulers are passing away and will continue to do so until Christ's return, when he comes to set up his kingdom on earth and reign for 1,000 years, and then for eternity with death and Satan dealt with forever. God's plan was always plan A. God never had a plan B, verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Christ's coming to earth was not a desperate plea or move to save mankind. It was always the plan for mankind to be saved. It was always for the purpose which God intended, which is why it baffled Satan so much, where he thinks he thought he won at crucifying the Messiah, but he just put God's plan into full force, allowing it to take place just as he knew it would. Near the end, just before his arrest, Jesus prayed this in John 17:5. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Before the world ever was, there was God. There was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Eternal, uncreated, in harmony with one another. But it has so much more powerful meaning to us today to know that God takes us now forward in our lives for eternity, either with him or without him forever. The great mystery of Christ coming, the Son of God, and through the belief in his death, burial, and resurrection as the only way to be cleansed from sin, was not understood by those in present power. Verse 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Instead of recognizing God incarnate amongst them, living among them, he was seen as a threat in the circus of the circle of the religious leaders, and a nuisance of a distraction in the secular. He was dismissed to death. Sadly, we see very little difference today. Our country, the United States of America, was founded upon Christian principles. They came here from England to be able to worship freely. There are government-run churches in most of the European nations that dictate and are overseen by the government. Here, they wanted to have freedom of religion. What has become, though, the battle cry to have freedom from religion, where people do not want to be influenced, they don't want to be touched by, they don't want to be guided by godly principles, which are the moral backbone of this country. They want to rule themselves and don't want to be told what they're doing is wrong. People, the church has gotten it so badly that we tend to be looked upon that we're saying what is wrong, when it's not us at all. We should be saying, don't talk to me, talk to the author. I believe what God's word says. And our encouragement is to live that so that it's not betrayed upon in the world. So it's not mocked and we give people reason to turn away from God. Regardless, the mystery of God's marvelous wisdom is made available to those who love him. In verse 9, but just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Scholars differ much on the origins of this phrase, which in the New American Standard Bible is all written in caps, so you are understanding this is a quotation from another part of the word. But many believe it's pulled from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 64, verse 4, 65, verse 17, and chapter 52, verse 15. Some believe it's from a secular work, but that was written after Paul died, so that's kind of a hard to equate that. Maybe the secular work pulled from Paul. The point is that these are not available to all mankind, but to all of mankind who received Jesus in the plan of salvation, which is God's marvelous wisdom. In his wisdom, he designed a plan to reconnect his creation to himself by using his Son. All the mysteries will one day become plain. Remember, this is written in a time and a place where the Gnostics, those who were preaching the unknowing, you know, that's, you love things on TV that are, I mean, how, when are they going to find Bigfoot? You know, it's such a mystery. And Pastor Roland, he's not in here, is he? Okay. Don't talk about this with him. This is really important, you know. And every week he runs home to watch that program, and I think, I wish for my brother that one day they'll find him just to make him feel better. But think of all the money lost in TV programs. You know, these mysteries, even that we have today, you know, Loch Ness Monster. I was there. I didn't see it. You know, I saw a couple twigs in the water, maybe rippling. You know, but see, one day, see, the mystery that God talks about is not those mysteries that stay mysteries, but a mystery revealed in Jesus Christ. And one day, when Christ returns in his glory, when we are glorified and go to the Father, those mysteries, all of them are taken away. We're going to study later on where Paul says, now we see as through a mirror dimly, but one day face to face. All these things that we talk about, and we have some quite discussions in our office. Kim saw that a little bit this last week when Clarence and Roland and I were talking about some of these mysteries and things that difference of opinion, and people take stances. There's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, all-mill, four positions of end times that are all supported in Scripture in each of those stances. Only one is going to be right. My position is we're going to know when we know. The point is, though, to be ready. But see, one day all these things are going to be laid low, and we'll go, wow, oh, I thought it was that, and it's really this. You know, we can ask Jonah how he got in the belly of that fish for 3 days. What did you eat? You know, leftovers, that was, I don't know. That thought just now just scary. Anyway, Jesus prayed to the Father for the disciples in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth, in the truth. Your word is truth. I went to a seminary that taught its students to form a worldview based upon truth. And their point is God's word is truth. We can get wrapped up in denominational differences. Josh was just asking me that. We were driving this last week. He said, you know, he talked about, you know, Baptists and Presbyterians and you know, and we are Christians only, but we're not the only Christians. What that means is that we call ourselves by one name. We're Christians, you know, and I have other denominations, they tack on another name with that, you know. Is it important? No, but it can be confusing, and denominations can get labels and by one group, which doesn't really affect another group. It doesn't correlate. The gentleman who started that church in somewhere in the South that used to protest, or they still do, protest veterans' funerals and all these things, really just hate demonstrations, I guess died this last week or so. And just think of, you know, how his legacy, will it continue on or will that fade away? And, you know, we are who we are because of Christ, and Christ is the one that we look to. And all the things that are going to happen in the future are made available to us because of Christ, because of his death, burial, and resurrection upon what we call Easter. We look for the coming, the second coming of Christ. Until then, we're being set apart, sanctified for that day of glory. We have to live lives that are set apart, not in the sense of segregating ourselves, which is what the Jews did by with all the laws. They separated themselves rather than infiltrating their surroundings. We need to remind ourselves we're set apart for God's purposes and then infiltrate for God's glory. Not in an aggressive, abusive way, but to live lives that people are drawn because of the light of Christ that's within us. God's wisdom is revealed through the Spirit. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. We pray to the Father, we pray through Jesus Christ, and we rely on the Holy Spirit who knows God. When we come to Christ, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, there is different forms, what different churches do to demonstrate that, which I don't personally believe is a necessary thing to prove my salvation. And I don't discount those who pray in a spiritual language. But I don't want to be distracted from the truth, which is when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm indwelled by the Holy Spirit and seals me for his purposes. Doesn't keep me from making mistakes, but he is there for me to rely upon to draw strength as well. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit who helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When think of the comforting thought that every time you pray, especially with a difficult situation, the Holy Spirit's praying with you deeper because he knows the heart of the Father. He knows the heart of Jesus Christ, and he knows it's just an amazing process that we are not alone but united with the Holy Spirit in our prayers. And sometimes we can just pray in silence, not knowing what to pray, but just releasing ourselves to God's plan for what he has in a situation. You know, I think we sometimes want the best for people. We want people to be healed. We want people to be out of situations. We want the very best for them in our human understanding. But I think it's better for us to pray for God's will. I look back on the first vote that took place in ministry for me back in mid-90s in Reno, where I was up for a vote for the director of worship at the E-Free Church that we were attending. And when that vote came back no, you know, I was hurt, I was disappointed, but I trusted that God had a plan. And because of that no, and one of the concerns was I didn't have a four-year degree because I quit school back in my early 20s because you don't need a college degree to sing or perform. But I looked upon that and the inspiration to move forward and go back and get my degree, to get my bachelor's degree. And then beyond that, went to seminary to get my master's degree. Something that probably would not have happened if the vote had been yes. We look at times when it appears to be negative, when really it's an encouragement for something greater than. I marvel at times at my graduation. Wow, they'll take anybody here. You know? And when people would question me in seminary because of the divorce, I said, you know, then you better take it up with God because I'm not here on my own. And if I'm not supposed to be here, God will allow me to fail, and he didn't. You gotta see with greater eyes than that. And as we pray, we rely upon the Spirit also who knows believers. The Spirit of those who are indwelled with the Holy Spirit knows you so well and knows how to pray for you so well. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. In Acts chapter 7, 55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That is at the time of Stephen, as he was prepared to be stoned, one of the early deacons in the church. In Romans 5:5, Paul wrote, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. We have a great partner in the Holy Spirit who will lead us and guide us into all truth, the Word says. We don't worship the Spirit. Each of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are one in essence, but three in person, distinctly different, and each has its own responsibility. We pray to the Father, we pray to the Son, we pray through the Son. Well, we receive forgiveness of of our sins because of the Son's death, burial, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit leads us to truth. But we're never called to worship the Spirit. His responsibility is to glorify the Father and the Son. It's a great thing that God has worked out that works perfectly and in harmony with each other. God's wisdom is revealed through the indwelling of the Spirit. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. This is a purpose clause. We are given the Holy Spirit, personal and indwelling, for the purpose of learning what the Spirit is revealing, and to know it because they are freely given to us by God, which refers to the believers as ones whom favor is given. Do you ever feel the Holy Spirit nudging you and trying to teach you something? Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. And sometimes we do. And sometimes we open our mouths when we shouldn't. And see, he's there not as, it's not the little devil and the little angel on your shoulders. You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God. But yet God still does not remove our free will. And so we can still choose to make boneheaded mistakes as we go through life. But he's there to teach us. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, unless the Spirit of God be upon us, we have no might from within and no means from without to rely upon. Wait upon the Lord, beloved, and seek strength from him alone. There cannot come out of you what has not been put into you. You must receive and then give out. There's a verse in Matthew where Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, there's a degree you can control that and hold back, but there's a certain point where the heart just spills out, and sometimes what spills out is not pretty. Sometimes what comes out is not edifying and not lovely, and you know, that's why we're called to guard our heart and pour into, fill into, and understand that the Holy Spirit's there to help us. The things freely given to us by God are spiritual thoughts as well as spiritual words. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Let me explain this. This is not the thought of speaking in tongues or speaking in unknown languages. This is the opportunity where you're in a situation that God gives you words from above to speak. The example I use most often is my own life. When that vote came back twice, two Sundays in a row, that was really edifying. Just falling short by like a percentage point, you know, but still it's fall. Like the Tigers, a win is a win, right? Whether you're up 7-1 and you win 7-6, or it doesn't matter, a win is a win. No is still a no. And most people, if they get voted down something, what do? They leave. People get offended. They leave. And when I showed up the next Sunday to do my worship leading responsibilities, people were running up saying, wow, we're so glad you're here. So where did you think we'd be? And they said, we thought when you got voted down that you'd leave. And these are the words that God gave. And I said, if God isn't the God of the no, then we don't deserve his yes. Meaning this, that God, that was God's answer to us. Not to be hurtful, not to be unkind, but that was his answer. I didn't think that out beforehand. Gee, what if people ask, what am I going to say? I never thought that people would even think twice about us showing up next week. No one asked me to leave, so I thought, well, I better do my job then. You know, that was a good thing, I guess. But you know, if God isn't the God of the no, then we don't deserve his yes. It didn't mean that I was undeserving. The point of that was, It was God's answer, and I need to accept that. And I have to look forward to what God would have. Those are spiritual thoughts put into spiritual words that were not from me. I'm not that clever, but I like that a lot, you know. I'm hoping someday someone will quote me on that, and I'll get a little line there, you know. Pastor Gary said one time, in great humility, these words. Times were words that come to you that you recognize are not of your origin, and you have them. Sometimes you'll speak about things that are spiritual, and you go, wow, that was pretty profound. Don't you wish sometimes you had a recording nearby so you can play it back? And we had that here one time. I said something that was very profound, and no one took notes. And the DVD was broken. We couldn't even record it. But you know, that's cool. It doesn't matter, because when God does it, it's a very cool moment in your life. When you realize that God is speaking to you with, and it's not thunderous words or a deep voice. It's just that you know Christ always spoke to the moment and got to the heart of it quickly. And that's what it is, being open to hearing those words and speaking truth. Because God's wisdom is revealed through the indwelling of the Spirit, the natural man cannot understand the wisdom of God. The unregenerated man cannot understand the wisdom of God. A man, I don't care how brainiac he is, cannot pick up this word. He can understand the words in it, but he won't understand the word. He won't understand the power. He won't understand the significance. You're praying to a dead God. You missed the other part of the story. He walked out of the tomb, walked around for 40 days, one time seen by as many as 500 after the resurrection. It's not quite a big secret, but it was pretty big. The natural man cannot understand the wisdom of God because they consider it foolishness. Foolishness. You know, you could be sleeping in on, do you know how many tee-off times you can get on Sunday morning that's really good? Because all those other guys are in church. There's a reason that they're in church. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. The word appraised means examined. They are spiritually examined. Remember the verse a moment or two ago, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. We need to examine the truth, not for a moment to question whether or not it's true, but to understand it because it is true. And apply it to our lives. There are too many things out there that the enemy is conjuring up to trip us up, to want us to fall. He loves nothing better than to make Christians look bad in the world, because it gives the world more ammunition why they shouldn't seek after a God like this who's so weak. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen because there's sin in the world. And Satan is powerful. And he's clever, but God is stronger, and the ends cannot be changed, no matter how much Satan would like to. The one who is indwelled will search the scripture and check its truth. When you're upset, you'll go to the Psalms and read them. When you don't understand why things are happening, you can go to Job and take comfort in him that all these things, that his life was devastated. Even his wife said, curse God and die. Well, thank you for that. You know, but in the end, there's a glorious time with God where God questions him. Where were you when the earth was created? Where were you when, you know, which Job had no answer, but God then called him to sacrifice for his friends who gave him bad advice. He was restored, but never was told the reason behind. We get to see behind the curtain. He was never informed of that. The natural man cannot understand the wisdom of God because it's learned through the Spirit. We learn the things of God through the Spirit. You know, I tell you, people, we talked about this. I don't understand the lack of hunger for God. I don't understand the lack of desire to fellowship with one another. I don't understand it. I lived it for many years. I was that person that it'll take me a half hour. I think I'll just stay in bed. I can always go to the evening service. And I lived two blocks away when I lived in Hollywood to the church I was going to. It just had no impact on my life. But I was a Christian. Oh, yeah. Until I understand lordship and how far I have fallen short. And long before I was ever in ministry, I had a heart to be among God's people because I loved to fellowship. I loved to worship. I wanted to learn. It's not that way. We have become a very complacent church. I'm not just talking about Grace. I'm talking about everywhere. We've lost the hunger somehow. Maybe because there's so many distractions in the world. I was talking with someone the other day just that how even being on Facebook can just take you a lot of hours. And I'm not saying Facebook is evil. By gosh, no. I've connected with people that I've not seen in years, but I barely go on there just to say happy birthday to somebody. But I don't know. There are things that we don't even realize just how much they take up time and how much do we, how often do we play solitaire and how much do we study God's word? I'm talking to myself, by the way, and those as well. Even pastors can do that as well. And they lose precious time. I'm not a natural man. I'm a man indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but I need to be doing more about that. I need to understand more. God turned a switch on in my life in 25 years ago that has never been turned off, and I don't want to do anything that would damage the switch. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a purpose for you, and it's discovered as you walk closer and closer with Christ. But Paul goes on to say in the verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises or examines all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. The believer is to see the world through Christ's eyes, evaluating his or her steps, action, words, conduct, in light of what Christ says, not the word. That's simple. Our lives should not be conformed to the world, but to the word. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. There should be seemingly a difference in us, because Christ is in us. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? How do we tell God, well, God, this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do. This is the plan that I have that I want you to just bless. This is the woman I want to marry, and I want you to put your blessing upon her because I'm going to marry her anyway, even if you say no. So often we want to instruct God because we know so much better than God does. But our vision is limited. It's short-sighted. We need to see longer distances. What would this be? How would this be? What do you want for me? And then follow that. This doesn't mean that we know everything, because the last part of that verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean that we know everything. It means that we look at life through the teachings of Jesus. Faith in Christ will come through the wisdom of God. We should have a heart to want to follow Christ in all things. Use the phrase, what would Jesus do? And then do follow through on that. You know? Have that tender heart. And when we do so, our thinking is altered when our thoughts are filtered through God's wisdom. Ever thought about that? Our thinking is altered when our thinking is filtered through God's wisdom. Here's the problem that I've experienced in my life, and maybe you have too. Sometimes I don't want to know what God thinks about it, because I've already thought about it a lot, and I want to do that. You know? Bungee jumping. I want to do that. I haven't yet. Yeah, why? That's the other thought that God comes back with. Why do you want to do that? Jump off an airplane with a parachute. No, we set our minds on a certain plan and think it's good. And then sometimes God wakes us up. Years ago, I when I lived in L.A., I auditioned for the dating game. The reason I auditioned for the dating games, I thought it would be good visibility if I got on. And you can put in Variety, which is a performer's magazine, that, you know, appearing on the dating game this date. But as you watch it, it changed from the 60s to a little bit more risque. And I was scheduled to tape on this one day as one of the bachelors. And I called the day of taping and says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. They were upset with me. But it really dawned on me on that day that, and I had just had a renewing of my faith, you know, and God was working upon my heart. And I thought, you know, what type of representation would I be giving? A lot of my friends were doing and going on there because it was good exposure. but what I'd be saying and how would I answer these questions that they want you to be provocative, you know? They want the sexual things that are to go on to just to tease you because it's entertaining. But thank God I didn't do it. I don't know if you remember who Pat Harrington was, a comedian, tall guy. Later on, I saw that he took my place and came out in a big rabbit suit. And that's where they drafted in the last moment to do that. It was really kind of funny. Our thinking is altered when it's filtered through God's wisdom. We have to be constantly doing that to keep our thoughts pure. To, as Paul says, pray without ceasing, to be constantly in thought with God. Think about this, Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That's a very sobering verse. If we are in Christ, if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there should be a certain conduct to our lives. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're going to do it right all the time. But it does mean that when we don't do it right, we recognize it quickly and ask forgiveness. I want to close with some of these thoughts for you today. In 2 Chronicles 12:13, this is what it says. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonitess. Verse 14, and he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Even in God's city, even in the name that he chose in the tribe to place himself there, this king did not set his heart on the things of God. We have the same challenge every day to set our things that we do on ourselves or on God. God's plan is marvelous. It's full of wisdom, and it cannot be changed or challenged. That's why when the great white throne judgment takes place, where all those who did not accept Christ on earth, there is no defense. No one can say, I didn't know, because it's our responsibility to live lives and to share our faith with those so that they have an opportunity to be led to Christ. There are only two choices in life: to choose to accept and receive the plan and find the purpose in his light, or to reject him and to remain in the darkness. Light always dispels darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. We have the light if we have Christ within us. An old man was living on a gentleman's estate in England. And when he would go to God's house to worship, he took this little shortcut through this magistrate's house, and this little path would save him a lot of time than walking the country roads. And a neighbor of this magistrate complained to him and said that this old man is walking on your pathway and on your property. And so one day the magistrate was out there and encountered this old man walking along with his cane and said, What right do you have to go this path? And the old man says, none, sir. I have no rights at all. He said, give me your stick. And the old man, not knowing what was going to take place, weakly handed him his walking stick. He said, here. And the magistrate gave him his own walking stick with a gold covering with a crest upon it of his house. He says, now, if anyone says to you, what right do you have to walk this path? You can show them that you have the owner's right in the way that you go. Believer in Christ, you have been given a walking companion in the Holy Spirit that goes wherever you go in and out of your lives, one who will never leave you nor forsake you as well, a commission to take light into the darkness, to live that light wherever you go, no matter how difficult and how challenging, and when challenges are there or temptations are there, rely upon the Spirit and his strength to lead you through, to share his most marvelous wisdom to the lost, that it may not be a mystery to them any longer. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the mystery that is revealed in Christ. And for those of us who that accept that mystery and marvel at your grace and wisdom, would you give us strength to live those lives out in the world that people may see your good works and marvel at you, and would desire to know you for themselves. Father, we would ask that we wouldn't hold this mystery revealed to just ourselves, but live it and give it to all that would receive it and to receive your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.